Welcome back to The Reason. I'm your host, Braxton, and today I'm here with Jenny and Blaine McGuire. We're going to dive deep into conversations about God's timing and how waiting is difficult, but God has a plan and a time for every single step of the way. This podcast will be very adventurous and hopefully help viewers understand what we talk about. I'm going to praise, I'm going to praise, I praise the mountain moving body, raising breaker of chains, going to timing is everything. I believe most of us like to map out our whole future, and we want it in a specific time frame. But just because we want it in that time frame doesn't mean it's in God's time frame.
Well, exactly. It's never in our time frame. Anything we do is never in our time frame.
Yeah, no, our timing and God's timing never align.
No.
They never align. Sometimes our plans have to fail.
Exactly.
So that God's plans can prevail, right? Yes.
And sometimes our plans fail for a purpose because it wasn't his plan at all.
Exactly, yeah.
It wasn't the road that we were supposed to take. We were going to turn right. He said, no, you're turning left.
Yeah. I feel like maybe he does put us on some of those different paths, though, to show us, hey, you're not following what I have set for your life. And that's where you need to get back on the right path and pull yourself back in.
Exactly. And you can't ever see God's plan looking forward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can only see it when you look back. So, like, I can look back over my life and see where I was going down the wrong roads, and then just one divine intervention,
yes,
whether it was a person or a situation or a scenario, yeah, like, brought me back into this other lane.
Yeah.
And that enemy, he'll whisper in your ear things that you think are coming from God to make, he makes it sound too good.
Yeah.
Too good to be true.
Yes.
And usually it is.
He's sneaky too. So when we refer to the enemy, we're talking about the devil or Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't call him by his name.
No.
One, we don't want to give him credit, but two, he doesn't call us by our name.
No.
He knows our name, but he calls us by our sin.
Exactly.
And he wants us to identify ourselves by our sin, is where God knows all of our sin, but he calls us by name. So we call him the enemy. We don't like to give him credit, even though I think it's something that's not talked about enough.
Exactly.
Because he is sneaky, and very conniving. And a lot of times we ask God to show us stuff, or we ask him, you know, to put us in the right place or something to that effect, whether it's your career, your relationships, just anything in life. And the enemy thrives on that.
Yes. Yeah.
He thrives on that, and he'll try to make a pretty picture. And I've learned that usually, like, when I ask for something and then all of a sudden it's like, bam, and it's there and it looks so pretty and it looks so great that, like, that's probably
that's
not it.
Not it. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Too good.
Yes. Too way good to too good true. To be true. All right. So I have a question for both of you. How do we wait through the timing knowing that it's so difficult?
It's very difficult, and it's probably one of the most difficult things you can do, because even when God seems far away, he's still moving. But when we can't see it and we can't feel it and everything just seems still and like he's not there.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's hard to wait through it, and you'll have that liar in your ear.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Bible verse that says, take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Yes.
You know, it tells us right in the Bible that he's scheming, he's conniving, and he'll take advantage of anything of that nature that he can. And it's easier to fall out of this than it is to stay hooked.
Exactly.
It is so easy to stray away from your faith, and that's something we both have personally experienced. It's so easy to fall out of that, and it's very hard to stay hooked.
Like,
following God and doing this and staying hooked in it is hard. It's not rainbows and unicorns.
And if anybody thinks it is, it's not.
Worldly things are really, really enticing.
Yes.
And they will draw you in.
Yes.
That's the biggest struggle that anybody has is the worldly thing. Yeah.
That's exactly why he died on the cross for us, though, was to forgive us of those sins and let us know that, hey, I'm never going to leave you and I'm still here for you.
Yep, and he died so we don't have to go through the rituals of burnt offerings and blood sacrifices like they did in the old times.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so he rewrote the rule book.
All we have to do is claim that Jesus is God and follow him, and we can be saved.
Exactly.
But it's in the waiting, you know, that period of waiting.
Yeah.
When you're not seeing it and you don't know what it looks like. It's tough, and you can tell yourself he has a greater plan and you can believe it, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there was a time where we were going through Blaine's injury and those kind of things, and I really leaned in on my faith and he kind of leaned out a little bit.
Yeah.
And just because I leaned in on my faith, it didn't make it better.
Yes.
It didn't make it easier. Yeah. I had faith that something would eventually happen.
Yes.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
And it not knowing when he was going to come through or how he was going to come through. It's difficult, but in those times, that's when you need to stay hooked the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And after I got hurt, that it took me a while to realize that there was a reason that he stopped me and a reason that I was going down the wrong path in a major way, and he, like a flip of his finger to the side of the head, put me out and told me that that's not the way you go.
Yeah.
Well, and it didn't come on that fast. It took me months of laying in bed and in a dark place, praying that he'd take me from this world, and it was his timing that we started going back to church and got back into everything.
And a pastor was at the right place at the right time and could see something that nobody else could see.
Yeah,
and she talked to me, and everything that she said was exactly what was going through my brain at the time. And
it's crazy how he puts those words into somebody else that you need to hear.
Discernment. When people have that discernment so strong, they can look at somebody and be like, oh, they're going through this. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
She told me exactly what I was going through and exactly what I was meant to do. And it took a while for me to grasp onto it. But once I did, I got down on my knees and I prayed. And within 2 weeks, I could start to use my hands again, start to talk, start to walk.
That's awesome.
I mean, it just came on like a flip of a switch.
It's that divine intervention.
Yes.
You know, like you're struggling for so long, and then all of a sudden one day, you know, somebody's in the right place at the right time that sees something nobody else sees.
Yes.
Somebody comes into your life, or an opportunity even. It can come in many different forms, but it's that period of waiting is just knowing that one day it'll turn around.
It will turn around, yes. I guess we will go into the next question of how do you handle tough situations that you have to go through to know that you're on the right path and on his timing and not your own timing going down the wrong path?
So discernment comes into that. Praying for discernment can be dangerous.
Yes.
Because
he will teach you.
He will teach you. So like anything, whether you pray for patience, whether you pray for discernment.
It may not come in the way that you think it's going to, but he will teach you patience.
He's not just going to drop it in your lap and be like,
here you go, now you have patience. Yeah.
He's going to put you in the fire.
Yes.
And refine you. Yeah. He's going to put you in situations that are uncomfortable that make you learn patience.
Yes.
He's going to put you in situations where you have to gain wisdom.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we're going through trials, that's when we learn that. And it's not an easy learning. The really tough time we had a couple years ago, Blaine was kicked in the head by a bull.
Oh.
On September 9th of 2023. And He was in the hospital for 20 days.
Oh, my goodness.
He couldn't form sentences. He couldn't work his arms and his legs. A lot of difficulty.
Yeah.
And our world came crashing to a halt.
Yeah.
And things spiraled pretty fast. No answers from the doctors. All of a sudden, we were on a single income.
Yeah.
He couldn't work. He was highly disabled. And I had a full-time career working 60, 70 hours a week. Now my husband's disabled. We have a full-time 16-year-old living with us and having Blaine's dad, who is not in good health, to take care of. And, you know, repo letters started coming really fast. There was times where we didn't know where our next meal was going to come from.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to ask for help.
Yeah.
And I was still in my... I just pretty much gave up at that point. I couldn't do anything, so I felt worthless, and I couldn't even go out of the house.
Yeah.
So I didn't pray, wasn't doing anything, and Jenny was praying, and everything that she prayed came to us.
Yeah.
So we were about to get our electric bill shut off, and she prayed about our electric bill, and then the next week they had a rodeo at, they call it Pack Midwest, and they sent a raffle around, a 50-50 raffle, and almost the exact amount for our electric bill to the penny they gave to pay our electric bill.
That is awesome.
We didn't know that they did that.
Yeah.
So one of the bullfighters, that rodeo was on a Saturday, and one of the bullfighters called me on Monday at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was at work, and I was like, why is he calling me on a Monday morning?
I answered
the phone, and he said, Jenny, we did a 50-50 raffle for you and Blaine at PAC on Saturday, and I need to meet with you and give you this money.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So I met him in Martinsville the next day in the Rural King parking lot, and he gave me the bucket, and I didn't count anything or whatever. You know, I thanked him, talked to him a little bit. And I went home, and I set that... I'm going to cry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I set that bucket on the counter and to the dollar.
Oh, my goodness. That's God. That's God.
That's not coincidence.
No, not at all.
You know, and I would always go out to the barn.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't cry in front of him.
Yeah.
He felt guilty enough, had enough going on. And I wouldn't come to God with like a laundry list I need this. I would wait until it was an absolute crisis, and I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
I
need your help.
Yes.
And one by one, you know, we're talking about over almost a year.
Oh my goodness.
So then the next thing that she prays for, we were trying to get into the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
And they finally accepted me to get in there after a couple of months, and we didn't have the money to get there or hotels or anything.
Yeah.
So it was around the Christmas show. And they done the silent auction for us and gave us the money for that. And it paid our hotel bills and gas and everything to the dollar.
That's awesome.
They have a silent auction every year, and they donate it to a barrel racing or pole bending family in need.
In need, yeah.
And Amy Youngblood and I had got together, and they did that, and we were expecting, you know, like a couple $100, anything helps. I'm like, you know, I can buy groceries for a week, whatever. And I was still praying on how we were going to get to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, because they don't admit you to the hospital there. You stay in a hotel,
and you go there from
like 7 to 5 every day. And they got done with that silent auction. We were there that day. We went up there toward the end. And Nathan Peebles and Bronson Barth came out of the office, and they had an envelope, and they handed it to us, and it was a thick envelope, and they told us the amount, and I just bawled right there in the middle of CBRC Expo Center. I just bawled, because I knew the math of what it was going to take for the hotel and the travel and everything, and again, it paid our entire
everything.
Way.
That's God. That is all God.
It's not coincidence.
No,
and
not
so
at all.
Those divine interventions, you know, there was another time where my best friend, we had to go up there for something. They were giving us hay because we couldn't afford hay for the horses. we're getting ready to have to sell the horses, and she was like, nope, come up here, yeah. They sell hay. And we had gone up there, and she pulled me into the garage, and again, just that divine intervention of, she saw something nobody else could see. She looked at me and she said, you're not okay.
Yes.
Spill it. And I lost it right there in her garage. And I was like, we're on day 3 of eating plain spaghetti noodles with nothing but Parmesan cheese because we don't have any sauce. Because
we don't have, yeah.
And I don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she was like, why didn't you call me? And I said, well, what do you say to somebody you haven't spoken to in months?
Yeah. How do you say something?
Yeah, how do you ask somebody, hey,
I don't have food.
Yeah,
That's a
hard one to ask somebody for groceries.
Yeah, and I mean, we left there with boxes. She gardens and cans and has all, and like, we left there with boxes. And, you know, I don't know if she had called another really good friend of mine, or if it was just divine intervention, but it was like 3 days later, a friend of mine who's a beef farmer messaged me out of the blue and was like, hey, my husband and I have really been thinking about you guys. We have some beef we want to give you.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
We went up there and they sent us home with a whole cooler full of beef.
That's awesome.
And it, you know, we could go on forever about, but in the moment where things looked so dark,
yes, yeah,
and I didn't know what to do, like,
it was gone.
Yes.
yeah
and so that's kind of that refining, you know, like, you learn and he'll teach you to trust him. But you have to go through it, and that's the hard part.
That's definitely the hard part.
So how do you know it's gonna come? You don't.
No.
And at times it looks like it's not gonna.
Yeah.
But he'll, there's times where I went down to my barn and screamed and yelled, and my prayers were not pretty. You know, I mean, I can remember going down and screaming, like, you promised you wouldn't leave us or forsake us. Like, where are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would scream that, like, where are you right now?
Yeah.
And it'd just be silence.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, just this one little thing. He wouldn't take it all off of me at once, but it was that one major need.
Yes.
Of, here you go.
Here you go.
And following Jesus isn't easy, but he does provide for you. He doesn't provide for the things that you think you need. He provides for the things he knows you need.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe God puts us in those hard times to show us that, hey, I'm not going to leave you, but maybe just as like a, not like a learning lesson, but like a...
You need to change your life a little
bit. Yes, I mean, yeah. You're starting to go down the wrong path.
So I was going down the wrong path before I got kicked, and I know that's why he done it and slowed me down a little, because I would come home every night, and first thing I would do is crack open a beer, and I wouldn't stop until I passed out at night.
Yeah.
I mean, and that went on for months at a time. And then we started rodeoing a lot then. And he was like, you're not going down this path.
Yeah.
But you started fighting bulls again for your glory.
Yeah. And I was doing everything to try to make a name for myself. And that's not what you do. But, you know, there's a Casting Crowns song called Only Jesus, and if you listen to that, Only Jesus.
Only Jesus, yep.
And that's what I've started living my life for, is only Jesus. And anything that I do, any speaking on TikTok or Facebook or anything, that I do not rehearse it. I hit play, and whatever he tells me to say, I say.
Yes, yeah.
And it's amazing. Because the crippling social anxiety he had before this happened.
Yeah.
To see him now speaking to groups of people he doesn't know about some of the hardest things to talk about.
Yes.
And to get on TikTok, I can speak to groups of people all day. And I turn my phone on, like my camera on my phone on to try to make a TikTok, and I turn into Porky the Pig. I'm like, beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Like, I can't get it out. Say about it. Yeah. I am so nervous. And I just, I struggle. And I don't know why. It's the dumbest thing ever. But he flips open that phone. He's just like, nails it.
Well, and for the longest time when I started doing it, I wouldn't even look at it. I wouldn't rewatch my video or listen to it because I knew if I did, I would delete it.
Yes.
So I would just post it right then. And I've reached so many people that way that it's unbelievable, really, the amount of messages that I get from people that I would have never expected to watch my videos and stuff.
Yeah.
People that come from horse backgrounds and that come from pretty rough backgrounds, you know, been into drugs and other situations that unimaginable situations that watch my videos and change their life, bring them out of the darkness.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, while we're on touchy subjects like this, a few months ago, I kind of pulled back a little bit from God, and honestly, I'm still not to where I should be and where I know he wants me at. But I think it's him teaching me a lesson on top of it, because he's like, hey, you're going down this wrong path and you need to pull yourself back. God can come back at any time, and I'm not physically right with him at the moment, but like I'm working my way back on that path. And I think, sorry, I might cry on this one too.
You're okay.
But it's very difficult when you want to follow these worldly things and you want to do what they do because you want people to like you, or you want to be heard and not just seen. But I think that's where God's like, I'm not going to leave you, but those other people are, and they're not the ones that you should be pleasing. It's me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if people aren't happy with how you are just naturally, they're not your people.
Yes.
And I do want to say that where you're at is okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
that is okay.
You're speaking Jesus, and that's what he wants, and he's blessed you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's put this in front of you for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you reached that one person that needed to hear this, you did your job.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's also okay to be mad at God.
Yes.
It's okay to be frustrated at God. I think a lot of times we forget that Jesus was human.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He had human emotions.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He walked this earth for a reason. That way he could see what people went through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we hear him cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
And forsaken in the Bible means lost, forgotten, or alone.
Yeah.
And so he knows where you're at.
Yes.
You know, and we all stray away at some point.
Most definitely.
And at the end of the day, sometimes we stray away out of frustration, or we don't understand, or the things we're asking for, we're not seeing.
Or why he put us in that situation.
Right? Every man in the Bible strayed away from God. Moses strayed away from God. Samson strayed away from God. Almost every man in the Bible strayed away from God at one point or another and came back to him, and then was more powerful than they ever could be.
Yes, yeah.
Sometimes God puts you in situations, but sometimes it's not him.
Yes.
Sometimes the enemy has gotten you to stray that direction.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just us.
Yeah.
You know, like a really good mentor at a rodeo a couple weeks ago, she commented on one of my posts when I was on my way home, and it said, maybe I'm the mountain. Lord, please help me to move out of my own way.
Get out of my own way. Yeah.
And, you know, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I was raised kind of in a church where God was very punishing, and you had to be worthy of his love. You had to do enough. You had to act a certain way. You had to be, perfection was the goal. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether my family had that intention or not, that's the way it came across. And it took me a long time to learn and to come out of that God is a loving God.
Yes.
And he's a forgiving God that is full of mercy and grace.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how big of a mess you've made for yourself or how far you've strayed away. his hand is always reaching out to you, and self-condemnation is huge.
Yeah.
A lot of times our guilt, shame, fear, and even attempts at being humble will hold us back from God.
Yeah.
And the enemy loves that.
Yes.
He loves that. And like Blaine, God was holding out his hand to him the whole time.
Yeah.
But he's not going to move until you move.
Until you move, exactly.
He's just waiting for you to grab a hold of his hand and hang on to it. And sometimes we reach out for his hand like we're about to touch an electric fence.
Yes. And then we pull back.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's, you know, I guess my question would be, did God really put you in that situation?
Or did I put myself in this situation?
Did you or did the enemy tempt you into that situation? Because God's plans for you are good.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to learn tough lessons. Sometimes yes. He'll let Satan pull us away and he'll let us sit in the fire. But he's still there with you.
Yes.
He might feel far away and seem like he's far away.
But he's not.
He's still right
there.
He's
still there. Yeah.
He's just waiting for you to move.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you're not forgotten.
No.
Like, he's just waiting.
And just like she said when... She said that he was waiting for me to move. There was hundreds, if not thousands, of people praying for me. And I wasn't praying for myself.
Yeah.
I never prayed for myself. And as soon as I did, he moved.
And that's that attempt at being humble, right?
Yes.
There's people out there that are so much more worse off than me. There's this, there's that, there's the next thing. We can come up with excuses all day. Excuses are easy to find.
Exactly.
But that's our attempt at being humble. But just because somebody might be worse off than you doesn't mean that God loves you any less.
Any less, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so it's one of those things, like thousands of people were praying for him to be healed. And when Pastor Candace asked him that day, have you prayed for yourself to be healed? I'm sitting there, I shook my head like, well, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
He looked her dead in the face and said, no. And I've never wanted to smack somebody in church so much in my life. Like, I was instantly just outraged. And she asked him why. And he said, because I don't deserve it.
Yes. Yeah.
And my heart broke right there in that moment. And I had to walk away. I walked away and I was like, get him, girl. Get him. And she did. But it's one of those... I think it's perfectly normal to have those feelings and to be in those positions, but you have the foundation to come back.
Yes, exactly.
He's just waiting on you.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know which way to go because sometimes we want things a certain way and sometimes we're asking for certain things and we don't understand why he's not giving them to us because to us, that's the only thing we can see for this to be good.
Yeah.
And his ways aren't our ways.
No. No.
And a lot of times it doesn't make sense.
Most of the time it doesn't make sense at the time, but when you look back, it makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look back, you're like, oh, thank you. I was an idiot. Thank you.
Thank you for not letting me do what I wanted to do right there.
Yeah. You're definitely gonna come out of those hard situations. It's just like you said, you're there. Mm-hmm. You're trying to reach out for his hand, but like you're still just pulling back. And honestly, I felt that for a while. Like, he's there. I know he is. I'm just not reaching out and not just reaching out fully and grabbing his hand and saying...
And you don't want to give up the things. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to give up the worldly things.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and people are going to hate you.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially going down this path.
Yeah.
People are going to hate you. People that you cared about and that you love deeply... are going to hate you.
Yeah.
And
that's a hard pill to swallow because you want to be liked and you want to not be hated.
Very. Yeah. And it's hard, but they hated Jesus too.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they killed him.
The crowds were, when he came into Jerusalem, they were waving palm leaves and welcoming him in. And then just a few days later, they were hollering crucify.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can go through that, what are we?
Well, yeah.
Well, and I believe, I'd have to look it up, but I believe it's in the red text where he talks about how they'll come against you over me.
Yes. Yeah. So you guys do like these talking videos with your thing called Passion Platform Purpose. You guys want to go into that and tell me how you guys got started with that, how God led you to do that and stuff like that?
Sure. So it's not what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
Some people see the title, they're like Passion Platform Purpose, and then they see we're talking about God, and they think the platform part of it is like a glory to us kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if we back up to late 2022, early 2023, rodeoing has been a dream ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I came from nothing in the industry. I grew up in a split household with single parents, lived in an apartment in the middle of town, no money, no horses, no nothing. And it's just been in me since I can remember.
Yeah.
So I've come up through it the hard way, a lot of hard work, a lot of, I could never afford good horses. I had to take the ones, you know, that were labeled worthless.
Worthless,
and,
yeah.
And make something out of them, yes. Right? And it served me well for a long time. But coming up, doing this and chasing this my entire life, I was really living a life of strife.
Yeah.
I was trying to prove a point. I was trying to prove everybody wrong. You know, I was going to do what they always said I never could do.
Could do, yeah.
In every aspect of life.
Yeah.
And when I did all that and I accomplished everything they always said I would never do, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I lost my fire. I lost my competitiveness. I really crashed out hard.
Yeah, almost timid, you know. I didn't have the drive anymore. Wasn't in it to win it.
Yeah.
And that's what barrel racing is about.
Yeah.
And I really crashed out hard. And I had started some young horses going to barrel races and stuff around home. And I had a horse that was ready to go rodeo, and we ran out a couple open rodeos over the winter, and she proved she was ready. And I prayed on it for months about going back. And God had really laid it on my heart that I needed to do it for him this time.
Yes.
It wasn't about me anymore.
Yeah.
And that was hard. Those tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And going through this, so I was helping at a junior rodeo in Danville, Indiana.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the pastoral team was. I went to Cowboy Church. And they changed my life. They started preaching about how people think their passion is their purpose. And I instantly hit the defense.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. You don't know me.
You don't know. Yeah.
This is what I've worked my whole life for. Right? You know, I'm in the bleachers. I'm like ready to fight.
Yeah.
And so I really leaned in, and he really went into it. And he said, God put your passion and your desires in your heart for a reason.
Yeah.
But that's not your purpose. Oof. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you don't know me.
Yeah. You don't know me at all. Why are you calling me out right now?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't know me. I've worked for this my whole life. And he went into how your passion will create a platform that will put you in the right places, around the right people. And that platform is your opportunity to spread the word that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is your purpose. I walked with, I went from like ready to fight to like, I just got smacked in the face.
Yes, I just got hit hard.
He will humble you quick.
Like, I just got smacked in the face. And it was like, okay, I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'd been laying this on me and I'd been kind of fighting it.
Yeah.
And that changed my life. And I walked away from there and I said, okay. I'll give it to you. This ain't about me anymore.
Yeah.
And then we got baptized. Well, so I entered my first rodeo. I called in and entered Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Blaine and I got baptized the Wednesday after Easter Sunday.
That's awesome.
And when we get baptized at our church, they give you like this goodie bag. And in this goodie bag, there's a paper in there, and it has a Bible verse and a message. And they're placed in these bags randomly.
Yeah.
And I read mine, and it said, "You no longer have to live your life in strife." And it said, "You will find peace in the Lord, like coming home from a long day's work. You no longer have to struggle." And it went into this big paragraph, and I'm like bawling, yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm like, okay, I see you. I get it. I get it.
I get it.
And I came home from work the next day, and my horse was crippled.
Oh.
And the enemy has this pattern of, like, when I'm about to step out and go and get competitive, he constantly knocks me down.
Yes, yeah.
And whether it's me, my horses, just anything.
He's always there.
He's always, and he'll send reinforcements, you know? So I almost threw my sucker in the dirt right there.
Yeah.
And the next morning, Blaine looked at me and he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "He's not going to stop me that easy."
Yeah.
And I found a horse to borrow, and we went on. And we had a really good year in 2023. And I started right then. I used to be a perfectionist. I've set arena records, and I've gone home and watched my video 300 times and tore myself to shreds.
Yeah.
It served me well for a long time because it fueled my fire to get the knowledge that I have.
Yeah.
But it hit a point to where there was nothing beneficial about it anymore.
Yeah, you could have the prettiest run ever and sit there and pick it apart. Yeah,
and be like, night. I still did that. I did that. I need to fix that.
What was my hand doing right
now? Yeah, what is it doing here? What am I doing now?
So I had to get over that to do this.
Yeah.
I had to post the bad runs.
Yes. Yeah.
And I had to be unfiltered.
Yes.
And I had to be vulnerable.
Don't edit them out and show...
Yes, show everything.
Show the knocked barrels.
Yes.
Yeah, and I had to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
In a way that I never had. And throughout that year, you know, I tied it all into God. But throughout that year, he really showed me that he can make good out of even the bad runs.
Yes, yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not always about winning first, which was a lesson I deeply needed to learn.
Yeah.
And everything was rolling, and we were going good. And no, but the enemy came after me like I'd never seen.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about spiritual warfare. I learned a lot about how to kind of overcome that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it still gets me. But I realized the battles I was fighting in my head weren't just me, and it wasn't because something was wrong with me.
Yeah.
It's the enemy does that intentionally.
Yes.
You know, like, he wants you to feel like you're not talented enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not... And everybody says, well, how do you know it's not God telling you to quit? Well, you have to know the difference between God's voice and the enemy's voice.
Yeah.
God's voice will still you. God's voice will guide you. God's voice will give you confidence. And the enemy's voice will rush you, will cause panic, will cause anxiety. And he loves using doubt and fear.
Yes.
And lies. Yeah. In everything, I mean, I was beat before I'd go in the pen. I'd stand in the holding pen and, you know, what makes you think you're good enough to be here? You're not good enough to be here. You're not talented enough, you know? And so I really had to overcome that. And I was pretty public about it. And things were rolling. And then Blaine got hurt.
Knocked you down again.
And knocked us down again. But I really think through that, it's all led us back to here.
Yeah.
But we needed to learn those lessons.
Yes.
To do what he's called us to do, because how are you supposed to relate to people and reach people when you've never been through those things?
Yes, yeah.
So this year I had really prayed on it about coming back now that Blaine's healthy and things, you know, we took a year and got financially stable again. And,
yeah.
his crippling anxiety he had before is gone. He would never be sitting here doing this or speaking in public or on TikTok before this happened.
Yeah.
And so we're going at it again. And I had prayed on it and I felt like giving up. I really had no desire to go back to running horses or go back to rodeo. I kind of fell into a lull after Blaine got better of, like, I was stuck in survival mode so hard that I didn't know what to do with myself now. So I'm rambling on a little bit. I'm sorry.
No, but, you're good.
So I prayed on it really hard, and I don't pray for myself a lot, but we went to church, and during worship, I had prayed for more Holy Spirit, and I told him, for me this time.
Yeah.
Which I never do. And it wasn't one song later, our pastor walked by, and he grabbed my shoulder.
Just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Like, I'd never talked to him face-to-face. Our church is huge.
Yeah.
And he said, I just walked by you and God really laid it on me that, can I pray with you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he had written down the things that God had really laid on him. And he said, you're tired and you've been carrying a lot, but he wants you to know it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, to go on with where you're going. And he got up and he preached, and I'm going to cry. The sermon was run the race to win. And he brought up how, and I never realized it before, but how, like, it's biblical and it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
That, like,
yeah, if you're going to do it to win.
The athlete trains to win the race. Best. You know, and he hit like 18 key points of how we can run the race to win in life. And I was jotting them down in my notes on my phone as he was speaking. And every single one of them related to where God had been guiding me.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going back. I'm going back.
Yeah.
And, but this time we're going to go bigger.
Yep. Yeah.
We're going to be more public. We've learned a lot since the first. I look back at the first time and I'm like, man, we were just babies, you know?
Right.
And so passion, platform, purpose is that. We're using our passion as a platform to spread the word that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
To fulfill our purpose, because our passion is not our purpose. What we do with it is the purpose.
Is the purpose.
And so the platform isn't about us, and isn't about glorifying us. It's about, we talked on the way to Illinois in the truck, we call it truck talk.
Yeah.
To my first run of this year that I made back since the beginning of 23. And I was battling spiritual warfare in the truck on the way there. You know, part of me wanted to just go make a smooth pass and build some confidence, knock the rust off. And the other side of me was like, go win.
Go win, yeah.
And, but at that point, I had to check my motives. You know, like, I wanted to go, the part of me that wanted to go win wanted to do it for my glory.
And not for,
And not for him. Yes. And so I stuck to the plan and I just would just go make a smooth pass.
Yeah.
So we're back at it. We've got like 4 runs under our belt now. Some of them have gone good. Some of them have not gone good. The enemy hit me really hard at a rodeo in Ohio a couple weeks ago. It was bad. Like, I didn't know whether to cry or puke or like, I couldn't. And I choked so bad. I like loped the whole time.
That was really pretty. Just a little slow.
It was pretty, but it was not fast.
Yeah.
But it's one of those of, you know, even as much as I've learned and the skills I've gained with putting on the armor of God.
Yeah.
You know, he'll send reinforcements.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the enemy will still try to get
you. Yeah, he'll still,
So we're documenting, you know, that journey, the good, the bad, the ugly. We have goals for this year going back to rodeo. And we're both kind of at it from different angles. So, unfortunately, you know, God steered Blaine away from his dream and his passion.
Yeah.
So, I started rodeoing when I was 15, and rode bulls and bareback horses, and then I started fighting bulls when I was 18, and I fought bulls from the time I was 18 till the time that I got kicked in the head, so 25 years, 20 years.
That's
and I thought that that
time.
Was my passion.
Yeah.
And it was, but I was doing it to try to make a name for myself. Try to let everybody know that I was the baddest one out there.
Yeah.
But no.
Because you wanted people to know your name.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum where, like, I was dang near ready to lay this down, even though it's what I've fought for my entire life.
Yeah.
And he's pushing me into it harder.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, I have Blaine there. He's always in my corner, no matter the good, the bad. No matter if I drag him 14 hours away and lope through the pattern.
Blaine don't care. Blaine just like go rodeo.
Right?
I've rodeoed since I was 15. I was the total opposite of her. I grew up in a horse background. I barrel raced from the time I was 5 years old till the time that I was in my 20s, and I just gave it up to go rodeoing.
Yeah.
And God's led us back to this path of
me
back to the path of horses again. So I'm working on a couple, trying to get them going, picking up broncs and shagging bulls and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's coming back around.
Yeah. So passion, platform, purpose is that. And it's, we're not using it for us anymore.
Yeah.
It's all about him and his glory, and even the bad performances where I look like he can still make good of that, you know.
Exactly.
But that's it's hard to post.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
It's
most definitely
hard to put out there.
Yes.
But if that helps just one person,
yes.
You know, I remember at the end of the day, even if it goes bad, I remember being the little girl at the county fair in the bleachers where that just felt like a long lost dream that was so out of reach. And so every time I get to go up the alley, it's a blessing.
Yes. Yeah. God's timing is everything, and he put you guys through stuff to come out on the other side even bigger and better. He put you through hard situations, and now look where you're at. So make sure you go check them out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever other social media. So as we're coming to an end of this podcast, we got a few challenges for you guys.
I would like to challenge you to at least pick up your Bible once a day and read, if it's just one verse out of the Bible. That, along with prayers, will go further than you could ever imagine.
If you don't have a Bible, reach out to us at Passion Platform Purpose. We'll get you one. I want to challenge you to stop hiding in your prayers. Your prayers don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be formal. But sometimes we go to God like we're going to a friend, and we really don't want to air out our dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Airing out your dirty laundry in prayer is the perfect time.
Yeah.
He already knows.
Yes. Yeah.
He already knows.
Yeah.
So stop guarding yourself in your prayers and just be open and fully, brutally honest, and watch what happens.
I also want to challenge you, if you're going through hard situations, and you need to reach out to somebody, you can reach out to any of us.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah, reach out to somebody you can trust that maybe went through something like that and that they could help you. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Until next time, we're signing out.
I want to love like Jesus. That kind of grace. I wanna live like I've got no more precious time to waste. I'm gonna give him glory with all my things, 'cause there's no greater, stronger, higher name, and that's who I praise.